Protoplanet Vesta for the brain that's on siesta. It's Rhyme and Reason 891.
Here's your rhyme and reason. Oh, yeah.
Hey there, Tony here. So, you know there's this little protoplanet named Vesta. You know that, right? And as it turns out, little Vesta might have some clues as to how life on Earth might have formed. Yeah, scientists discovered some areas of impact on the minor planet, air quotes around that, that seemed to show, quoting them, collisions with carbon-rich asteroids. And of course, they emphasize that carbon is the essential building block to all life on Earth, from single cell to human. Yeah, so all that information on one little protoplanet. But what in the universe is a protoplanet? Well, there's this lying definition you can easily find online. I found it. A definition that says a large body of matter in orbit around the sun or a star and thought to be developing into a planet. This analysis supported the view that the moon originated from a glancing collision between the Earth and another protoplanet 45,000 million years ago. Whoa, that's a long time. I don't even think my parents were alive back then. Anyway, you know what? Let's not listen to stupid descriptions and definitions like that because they just love to bandy humongous numbers around in order to eliminate the possibility of a creator, of course, or a designer of the universe and life. After all, there's no evidence of any kind whatsoever that planets and or protoplanets existed 45,000 million years ago. Because there's no evidence of any kind whatsoever that material things, in other words, matter, existed then. There's no evidence that any matter existed back then. And yet, there's oodles and oodles, and you know that's a lot. Those are words to describe numbers even bigger than millions. There's oodles of evidence to suggest that the Earth came into existence only thousands of years ago. Now, you don't have to look at any of that evidence. You can just choose to totally ignore it all. But I suggest you consider the consequences of that choice. Here's a little roundabout explanation for why I say that, too. When a human being dies, the same carbon that was there before death is still there. Yeah, all the ingredients, so to speak, are contained in that dead body. So, it's one of those things that should make you go, why is there no life in that remaining carbon? Because if it's the essential building block of all life on Earth, why does a carbon-rich body die and the carbon is still there and the body is dead? The person's dead. Now, I'm not a scientist and I don't even play one on YouTube. I'm not a physicist, I'm not an alchemist or a biologist. I'm just a humble rhyme and reason guy. A guy who probably contains as much carbon as anyone in those other professions. I'm a guy who, like everyone else, has a time limit for my life here on Earth. But if and when my time to die arrives, my carbon will still be here. People will have to deal with it. They call it the remains. You may have heard that. So what remains of me once I die is a pile of carbon. You could say it like that. It's not a very nice pile either. So my life did not arise from or depend on carbon to have life. And real science shows the enormity of complexity in human DNA. The code in a single human cell can fill volumes of information. You, yes, you. You have your own unique DNA. Everyone does. My finite mind can barely apprehend and certainly not comprehend completely the almost infinite implications of that. But I can say it without hesitation. DNA clearly shows we are information-based, not carbon. It's sort of like this. My computer is a cool-looking device, but without the information in the software, it's just an intricately designed, shapely piece of aluminum. It's really lifeless. And no amount of added aluminum will ever get it to calculate, punctuate, or create a single image, sentence, or sound without help from life and information-based people. As I'm recording this, I'm using a computer and an iPad. At the same time, I am reading things on my iPad, and I'm recording them on my laptop, and they can't do any of this without me setting it up. Yeah, that's just the way that works. I wish scientists who trust in carbon could get real and approach life from the information base. I believe they'd be better equipped to process that information, and they could build a much better understanding of life and love and design. And they wouldn't be looking for reasons why we exist on a protoplanet. Yeah, if only they could just capture life because of life. Yeah, capture life because life comes from a designer. Capture life because life is a real thing, not just based on some sort of carbon. It's based on information. We're created by a living, loving, personal, relational designer, creator, who loves us enough to give us all we need to exist and give us every opportunity to exist and live in paradise forever. But sadly, most people don't care. They don't want that. I hope that's not you. All right, that does it for this episode of the Rhyme and Reason Podcast. Be sure to go over to tonyfunderberg.com and jump on the Rhyme and Reason bandwagon if you haven't already. Your email will get you some free cool stuff. And occasionally you'll get other cool stuff that even the listeners here on the podcast don't get. So if that can entice you to be on the bandwagon, jump on the bandwagon. And as always, remember, life has rhyme and reason because God made you.